Good afternoon. Today is Friday, May the 1st, 125th day of the new year. Joining us, scheduled to be joining us this afternoon, is Eureka City Manager Greg Sparks. We'll find out if his calendar and his social secretary are keeping track of what's going on or not when we come back.
Best Spanish language station on the North Coast is Juan 790. Tune in to 790 AM for great music, sports from ESPN, and CNN News en Español. If you're a business owner, ask Juan to connect you with the Spanish-speaking community. You'll be glad you did. Visit Juan online at juan790.com or give us a call at 442-5744. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon. That's the last time I can say that, huh? Well, okay, so we got three more times. Good afternoon. KINS News and Information Times. 312, we're back to talk shop this afternoon with Mr. Sparks. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. Let's see if we can find something worthwhile to take us out. Franklin Adams. Okay, that looks good. It's not humorous, though.
Go for it.
All right. You can tell I'm pumped. All right, fine. Okay. I find that a great part of the information I have was acquired by looking up something and finding something else on the way.
I think I can attest to that.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, it's been an interesting week for you, hasn't it?
You know, I'd say I've done more media interviews this week than maybe any week since I started, and now I get to finish it off with you.
Capping it off with the best, right?
Something like that.
Something like that, huh? We do have all those weird sound effects we were talking about lined up, right?
Yeah, I got the cricket chirp for that.
Yeah. Oh, fair enough. I want to... We'll save 12% for the second half of the show.
Okay.
All right. Because the first half, I'm hearing that there's some cool stuff going on down around the balloon track area. Now I don't know is it common knowledge? Is it knowledge? Is it still in the very fundamental idea forming stage? I don't want to screw anything up, and I certainly don't want anything to get screwed up. But can you talk about any of that stuff?
Well, we here a few months ago to kind of responding to some both I think concerns from council and other community complaints, really started kind of making an effort to see if we can get the old locomotives and other things removed from the balloon track area. So that actually is proceeding, and I know from some discussion that I believe they've actually even have started removing some of the equipment out of there, and with the idea, I'm not sure what the timeline is for when they're all going out, because I know there's a bit of dismantling type of work that's going to be done first. But I think there's there's both some scrap value there, and I think there's just also even some value from some of those
historical.
Historical.
Before you got here, there was a lot of discussion about the property adjacent to the Warfinger.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it has to be coastal dependent, blah, 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 blah. And we had a couple of what seemed like viable projects being contested for that location. A branded hotel, which has subsequently popped up in Arcata. A hostelry, which hasn't popped up anywhere, and other things. Is that chunk of land being looked at by anybody? Is it any value at all? As I remember, there was a lot of machinations and chomping and chewing and emotion, and lo and behold, it continues to push up daisies.
You know, at one point, there was a proposal for an RV park over there, and I believe council even had kind of indicated interest in proceeding forward with that. Then, basically, I know this was even before I started, decided to back off of that with the idea that that was somewhat of an important area from kind of a cruise ship, you know, in terms of
you're going to leap into the mud flats and climb up over the hill?
There is some of that being held with some of that idea. So I'm not sure exactly what the future of that's going to be. One thing we know we need to do is part of that, one of the properties there the city owns is really kind of a junkyard with some very decrepit, dilapidated boats and boat parts, and we
is
need
that
to,
city?
Yes. That
is that. So is that like? Oh gosh, what's it called? Not condemnation, but when somebody owes you, and you seize the property, back fees, that kind of stuff.
I think that's how some of that may have been acquired, or it was just left behind, and city towed it to there. Some of that kind of thing.
Oh,
abandoned
also.
I think there's some of that.
That's right. So. Midwest doesn't know much about boat, do you?
Oh, a little bit.
Is any of it worth saving, or is this just, you know, Bonfire City and, you know, 4th of July, you kind of have a little scheduled event there and keep Ken and the guys a little, give them something to do?
Just from what none of it looks very valuable to me going by it. I haven't been out inspecting it, but it looks like it's, yeah, pretty poor condition.
So you don't see a whole lot of resale value
associated
with that one. Is there a timeline to try to clean that area up?
You know, we started having some of that discussion last fall, and it still hasn't happened. So, yeah, we need to move on it
this year.
That
could be a loose maybe.
So I will be bringing that up with our staff.
Oh, really?
Because, this even came – had a councilwoman bring that up couple weeks ago as well, that I thought we were going to do something.
You know how safe
that
is to say anymore, councilwoman?
I can say that, and you don't
nothing away.
You don't know which one I'm talking about, do you?
That really kind of frost my cookies, frankly. continuing along down waterfront towards the Palco Marsh, is there any other concerns or any other projects that you're looking at? I know you city still wants to tap in, I guess it would be First Street or Waterfront, whatever you want to call it, to the other side from where the old GNR Metals site was.
Right.
Is that moving at all?
Well, there's something pretty exciting, and that is at the last count.
He's going to throw something at me. I wasn't paying attention.
We can wait.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be back.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Greg Sparks. Greg, before we went to the break there, I'd asked a little bit about some of the concept, I guess.
Yeah.
It's still a concept, of extending Waterfront Drive. Well, I guess it's follow the railroad tracks as much as anything.
Right, and actually what I was ready to kind of launch into, and I don't recall if I talked at all about this last month, but you know, council just approved, what was it, our last meeting, a bit of a master planning design charrette process from the waterfront area from C to Street to F Street.
Okay, slow down, Tiger. Master plan, okay, half of us.
Okay.
Charrette, okay, the others are gone. It's now you and me.
Okay.
What are we talking about?
But we're really, in simple terms, is that area of the waterfront from C Street, basically by the Fisherman's Terminal building, on up to F Street. And the F Street Plaza, looking at that, you know, which is right now, the city owns a lot of that property. There's also the Fireworker property, Maxon property, Dunaway, Pearson. There's a number of other property owners in there.
I love these new guys. They come to town. They don't use the proper landmarks. You mean the old co-op building?
Yeah, I don't always
know all these
things.
The parking lot next to it, the gravel lot.
Right.
Let's see, Dunaway has got the empty lot at F Street, right?
Yes.
Okay. And who was the other one?
Did I mention Pearson, Maxon, Dunaway, Covered Fireworker,
the old dump site.
But the point of that was is, you know, we've always been looking at that city-owned property, part of the old redevelopment for a waterfront hotel. And and there's been probably some discussion with the private landowners in the area, but we really kind of ramped that up in the last couple months. And to see, you know, if we could kind of jointly do some planning of this area, not anything that would be binding to say, well, it's got to be this, this, and this, but how can at least we cooperatively work together so that, depending on how you do a development there, you could have 60% of it eaten up with parking. Well, that isn't really where we want to see parking necessarily eat up the best waterfront property. And maybe one of the private property owners has a small parcel that's hard for them to do a project on, but if they're working with another landowner, maybe they can pull something. So we want to look at what's the best type of anchor project in there, whether it's, like, say, an upper-scale hotel-type property, and then what's maybe a good mix of some additional retail or some other type of mixed-use development in there. So we're launching that process, going out for requests for proposals from kind of architect and design firms, and then really this summer we'll be doing some community stakeholder meetings, working
with
the
property owners.
Kind of broader than that, though. Also, you know, of businesses in Old Town, the community. There'll be some public meeting process, but we really want to try to get what's the best use of that property down there, and so and
jobs
and certainly next. what can we do to help make that happen from a job standpoint. From creating some effective tax base standpoint, so
are Dolores and John's project ever going to happen? I mean, it's been what, 15, 20 years, four or five revisions, da 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 da. Yeah, and certainly the marketplace has changed. Is that ever going to happen, or is that one of the properties now that's up for?
Well, that has always
been
a city-owned parcel that the city had a development agreement with them on. That development agreement has expired, and we are looking at, you know, potential. We'll be opening that process up.
So that one's available also?
Yes.
How do you deal with, and I'll use the old co-op, help me guys, First and E? Yeah, First and E, the big green building that's kind of there. And I know there's been a lot of things prior to the co-op there also. A building in that situation, in that condition, that appears like it's been forgotten, that really doesn't fit in there anymore. How do you weigh eminent domain versus private property rights? And that balance... Yeah, and if that was gone, that certainly wouldn't mean that all of a sudden there was going to that whole plot would be developed, but it would certainly change the dynamics of that neighborhood.
You know, that was certainly the benefit when California cities had their redevelopment agencies. That was typically what you acquired those kinds of properties that could be whether they're torn down or repurposed, but somehow redeveloped and utilize, you know, tax increment financing in a sense to help make that happen. That's more difficult now with the dissolution of those redevelopment agencies. We're certainly hearing some things at the state level, which somewhat leads us to believe that redevelopment may come back in some type of form, maybe kind of a more of a stripped down form, much more restrictive. But certainly from a city standpoint, we need some tools like redevelopment. I've seen it work very well in certainly other states I've worked in, and it varies from state as to how comprehensive or how effective their redevelopment, their tax increment finance districts are. But that's it's a way to publicly finance projects, you know, in a sense taking that additional new tax value to help put in public improvements, and that's what you need in many cases to help make these kind of projects go.
KINS News and Information Times 3:30. We'll be back with more from Greg Sparks.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's. St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Greg Sparks. 12% Greg, as he's known in town these days.
Boy, that's rough.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many, and I will confess, we do not subscribe to the newspaper. And I work in honest days, so I don't get home until about 6:30, as you know. So I don't see the local news. So this is all me. I'm not either piling on or ignoring, depending on how you want to play it. But I heard before it was common knowledge that there was some stuff going on. And it was intriguing for me. And I guess the first spot I'll ask, in just kind of a timeline reference, City Council passed the budget. What changed?
What changed, say, in the last 12 months since, or 11 months since the 2014-15 budget was approved? You know, there's, and that's really what happened. A budget typically isn't, it's a snapshot of this one year, but it's decisions that have been made over typically several years' time that lead up to where you're at. This is my one-year anniversary with the city, so I've been here a year now. So I was on the job about a month and a half when we approved the last budget, and we had a number of difficult decisions to make at that time, and we made them really in a pretty short time frame, some kind of across-the-board budget reductions, really amounted to around 10%. And we ended up, and council added back some additional funding, though, back into police and fire at that time. So we ended up with a razor-thin reserve. And
adding to the reserve or removing the reserve?
No. Reserves continue to go down. And most of our reserves are predicated upon the timing lag in hiring people and banking on that savings.
The unfilled positions.
Yeah, okay. And the thing that happened this past year is Humboldt Bay Fire, they are 100% staffed. Chief Mills, EPD, they're not quite 100%, but they're predominantly up to full staffing. So that kind of model of just kind of basing it on open positions is a little tenuous. We've certainly had open positions in other departments as well, but that we should be carrying a reserve, you know, closer to 25% of our general operating budget. Instead, we've been more down in the, you know, 5% range or less. So, really, no reserve to utilize when you have some things that change within your budget. Even when we did the mid-year budget report to City Council a couple months ago, everything's fine in the 2014-15 budget. I mean, revenues are coming in as projected. Expenditures are coming in as projected. But as you project out 2015-2016, there's several factors that were impacting this budget. We've continued to see our increased costs for public employee pensions. And I've talked quite a bit about that in the last couple weeks. From 2011-2012 budget, it represented less than 12% of our general fund budget, around $2.7 million. In our projected budget, we're at 14.7% of the general fund budget, and it's gone up $1 million to about $3.7 million. So since that's over a relatively short period of time, that's $1 million in costs that doesn't put it's not creating any new employees. It's not creating any new services. It's just an increased cost of doing business for us.
So what's driving that, Greg? I've heard from a bunch of folks, and I try to spread the net on some of this stuff, and there's a lot of head-scratching going on about the retirement packages, how are they designed, how were they designed, what's going on, how long, too generous, not generous enough, oh my, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When you came to town and you looked at what the retirement package was, or packages were, not for you guys, but this figure that was being thrown out, was it generous, overly generous, really tight? How would you describe it?
It's a defined benefit plan, which is what most states' public employee pension benefit plans are. And, you know, so it's not just like a 401k, which is a defined contribution plan. This much percent goes towards your retirement. Instead, with these defined benefit plans, when CalPERS was doing great through the 1990s, there's times that employers weren't even, they were picking up the employee rate as well. And it just seemed like, you know, the money was always going to flow. And pension benefits were increased during that time period. You fast forward ahead to the recession starting in 2007. What do we see? 30 to 40% decrease in the market. And these pension funds in a lot of states that may have been, I think CalPERS was probably 100% funded or close to that. What I saw the other day is I think CalPERS is at 75% funded now. So I think they'd actually had dropped lower than that. And
but now when it says 75% or there's a 25% hole,
yeah,
most of us go, okay.
Yeah,
so
what does that
25%
mean?
25% less that I've got. Okay. That doesn't seem to be the language and the way that this arrangement is set up, though.
And under the old system, particularly you look at public safety employees, in many cases the pension rate was 3%, 3% of your salary a year, and you could start drawing a pension at age 50. So if you had started working public safety at the age of 20 and you had 30 years in at 3%, that's 90% of your pay at age 50, and depend upon whatever special pay was approved on it. So pretty good retirement benefit. Some benefits in other states may not have been that good. I don't want to get into those comparisons. What happened in 2012? Certainly, the state recognized that they needed to do pension reform, as many other states around the country did. And those rates have come, they've dropped the rates, dropped the pension benefits. I know like mine is now, it's 2% at 62, I believe is what it is. So those kind of changes have happened, but you've got this large, the number of employees in the old system.
The pig in the python?
I would call it.
Working its way through?
The legacy employees.
Fine. PC strikes again. KINS, News and Information Times 344. We'll be back with more from Greg Sparks.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 347. Boy, are you lucky, only 3 minutes left.
I was counting on that.
I know. What I heard, what we've all heard, is 12% across the board. Yeah. Departments are looking at lopping off a significant percentage of either personnel or their opportunities to really provide whatever the service is that they do. If it's fire, yeah. If it's cops, if it's the zoo, whatever it may happen to be. Fair, accurate, inaccurate, unfair?
Inaccurate at this point. When we started here about 2 weeks ago, we had basically what we considered to be a 12% imbalance between the revenues and expenditures for next year. So that was kind of our initial target. We were able to bring that down actually to about 10% through some tightening some things up. But the direction they went out to the departments wasn't a 10% or 12 across the board reduction. It's more like this was a target we need to be working at, but we want to be strategic in that. So when you see what chief came back in the police department, it's not a 10% reduction of his proposed budget. Yeah, it is, because there's some other areas where we had some increase. Revenues that we've dealing with in some departments, we try to balance where do we have some revenue opportunities, where can we do some reductions, and I know I had another thought there.
Yeah, things come and go as you age.
that is an issue.
What do you say to the Measure Q guys?
You know,
this thing was sold on no reductions.
I know how the information I put out on Measure Q, and in fact, I even rechecked what I put on our website on Measure Q. Measure Q is absolutely, it's a vital revenue source for the city. It's 16% of our general fund budget. As difficult as these reductions were, if we didn't have Measure Q, that'd be another $4.2 million off the table. That throws things into a whole different level than what we're dealing with now. That would be extremely difficult. As it is, we're not cutting any uniform personnel, and it's still council's going to be making these decisions. This is just the budget I'm going to be recommending to them. This is still council decision-making process. There's no firefighters losing a job. There's some other positions we're not filling, and some of that going on. But we feel we can maintain a pretty high level of service still, even with this level reduction. You take loss of Measure Q, and that would not be the case at all.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Brian.
See you in the morning next time.
And
okay. Everybody else, Monday morning. Go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.